Good afternoon. It's good to see everybody again. All your smiling faces. Hope lunch went well. I know ours did. I'd be remiss if I did not say thank you for the hospitality that has been given to my family and I yesterday and today. And I appreciate this opportunity to come before you and bring a little bit of the Word of God. And I hope it is edifying for you as this experience has been for me. So this afternoon, we want to take a closer look at 2 Timothy 4. And we're going to be focusing on verses 6 through 16. Now, it hit me this morning that this is about where you're at in your Bible study. So hopefully I don't take any of your thunder away from that, but it's always good to look at it a second time as well. But as we look at the Scriptures, and as we know undoubtedly have understood, I'm sure all of us have been in a situation where we've read a passage of Scripture and said, well, boy, I missed that last time. I didn't catch that before. I didn't see that idea in the Scriptures the last time. And it's because of the way we train ourselves to read. Sometimes we want to get through things quickly. And I look at a instruction manual for how to put something together that you buy at the store. I skim, put it together wrong, and then have to go back and figure out what I missed. So it's just what we've taught ourselves to do. And it's good to go back and look a little deeper at the Scriptures. And once again, we're often surprised by what we missed. When I was in college, I had to take a literature class. And I devised something that I call my patented study system. It's really not patented. But I was looking at the load of homework that I was going to have to do, and I thought, I don't have time to read a novel a week. And that was what we were supposed to do. So I would read a paragraph from the beginning of each chapter, a paragraph at the end of each chapter, and one from the middle somewhere, and managed to get through that class with a B+. Now, that's a dangerous thing to do, though, with your spiritual life. You don't want to hit and miss and skip your way through the Scriptures, which is what, well, look around, we have the denominational world, and that's exactly what has been going on, and that's exactly where we get some of this false teaching that we see. The Bible is not a work of man, but it is God-breathed, as we're reminded in 2 Timothy 3 at verse 16. And it's something for us to always remember and to be careful to handle it rightly. So if we look at 2 Timothy 4, our scripture for this afternoon, starting at verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." One of the things that as we look at this, we can understand that Paul became weary, and so will we. As we walk through our daily life, we're going to become weary. We're going to be those that look at the road ahead and say, I don't know if I can do this. So we're not alone. We need to take a good note here that we're not alone. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 7, as we just read, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He was being poured out. He was being poured out, a drink offering. We can say it was more of like a sacrifice, spent, used, depleted. His time was up. Our time is limited, something that we have to remember every single day. When we're young, I'm under 45, so I'll say that I'm still young. I don't know if I believe that completely. But when we're young, we tend to think we have tomorrow. We tend to think that we have plenty of time to do things. And it is not good to be a procrastinator, of which I am chief, it seems, at times. A preacher that I know, he always used to say, "Let's get moving. Let's get going. Time is of the essence." He would say that out loud all the time. And that's something good for us to say as we roll out of bed every morning. Time is of the essence. We've got a short time that we're here, and we want to use our time wisely. As we mentioned this morning, and it was mentioned a couple times this morning, that Christ was about his Father's business, and it is something that we should imitate in our lives as well. As we look back to our verse 7 here, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race." He fought. We've got to fight. We've got a fight on our hands, and it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a war for souls. As we're out there in the world, and there's so many people, we've heard about the itching ears heaping up for themselves preachers and teachers that will tickle those ears. There are plenty of people out there to tickle those ears and to tell people what they want to hear. So we have a fight on our hands. It's a war for souls. So we don't want to waste time when we become weary. And finished. Paul finished the race. Paul stayed till the race was over, not laying on the sideline, not turning back or giving up. Now, I'm going to embarrass one of my children here. There was a time not too long ago our dishwasher was broken. And guess what you have to do when that's the case? You have to wash them by hand. And one of my sons, who will remain nameless, his name starts with an A, but he would go to do the dishes, and it would take him 5 hours to do the dishes. Because he'd pick up one dish, and "I want the dishwasher back." And he'd wash it and put it away. And if he had just gotten on with it and got it done with, it would have been over with. And it's something that we have to remember. We have to remember to finish. We have to remember not to grumble in the meantime. We don't want to lay down on the sideline and complain about how hard it is, but we have to finish the race, not turning back or giving up. And Paul kept the faith. Now, in Jude 3, we read, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Again, we read that this morning. It's a good scripture to keep in our minds, that we have to contend earnestly. We have to take it seriously. We talked about the definition this morning of earnestness. And we have to take it seriously. It's a grave thing, contending for the faith. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 30 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases." So what do we have to worry about? He increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. I've got to finish reading the rest of that. So what do we have to worry about? What do we have to worry about when we become weary? Because God does not grow weary. It does not grow faint. And we are leaning on Him. So there's something to look forward to. We can also glean that from this passage. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, "Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord and the righteous judge will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." So there is a crown of righteousness. And when we think of a crown, we think of something that is very sought after, something that is of great value. You may think of royalty. It is something to be attained, something that is desired. It is from Christ. Christ will be giving the crowns. Again, one of the scriptures that I try to recite in my mind, Matthew 28:18. Again, Christ has all authority, so that doesn't leave us any. We have to remember that Christ will be giving the crowns, and it doesn't matter what some man says. You turn on the television, and there are plenty of televangelists, there are plenty of preachers out there that are willing to tell you anything as long as it makes you happy. Incidentally, you know, when we went to lunch today, one of the places we could have gone, one of their advertisements says, "You can have it your way." But incidentally, you can't have it your way even there, because there are some things they just don't have in the kitchen. And as we walk through our lives, we understand it's not our way, but His way. And what we have is limited. It's limited to the obedient, but it's available to all. It's limited, but it's unlimited. The all is those that love His appearing. That is the who of that statement. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, "And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." So do you love Christ? Do you love Christ enough to do what He says? 1 John 2, verse 4, "He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Those are, again, in this day and age, people might call that harsh speech, to call someone a liar. But when we pick that apart, we look at it and understand that if we say we know Him, yet we don't even know what He wants us to do, and we have no desire in our lives to do those things, then that makes us a liar. And that's something that none of us wants to be. So do you love Him? Then do what He said. That is the plain and simple truth of it. Something else we can glean from this passage is that sometimes we need help. 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 and then 11. "Be diligent to come to me quickly. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." So if we look at this and we understand that it is good for us to be diligent, to be helpful to the cause, we have to be those that are helpful to the cause. We often look up to Paul as a good example, but he needed help too. He needed some people to help him along the way. That's what the church does. We help each other. We're a family. I am humbled and I'm so thankful for you. And I can come from a different state and the times that I've traveled and in other places as well where you find Christians that come together on the first day of the week. It's like We're family. I mean, I am, again, humbled by all of the hospitality and the friendliness that you've extended to myself and my family. And it just lends to that scriptural idea that we are a family and we need to help each other and lean on each other. And that's what we're here for. We're in this together for the same purpose. We can all be useful in different ways. We're all a little bit different. Some of us are good, so we've had two good song leaders today. As I mentioned last night, I was telling Steve that song leading scares me to death. I can do it from time to time, but that is something that I'm glad that there are people that can do that and do it well and have that ability. We all need to step up and do those things where we are able. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And Romans 12, verse 10, "Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor." It's important for us to remember that we can't do everything ourselves. And we have among us a group of loving Christians that are willing to step in and help each other wherever we can. And so don't do it all on your own. Sometimes, again, in this world, there is some honor attached. In the world, they attach honor to being able to be self-sufficient and to do things all by yourself. Sometimes help is a good thing. Another thing to remember out of this is that others will disappoint us. If you are nearby another human being, it's likely that you will be disappointed at some point or another. People aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. And I know I've disappointed people and I've been disappointed by people. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia." We need to expect it. It's going to happen. We need to expect that we will be disappointed at some time. Others may fall away, and that's a painful, difficult thing to think about, painful, difficult thing to deal with. But the Scriptures teach us how to. Some people may have to leave us to do the work. The work still needs to be done. No matter what, the work still needs to be done. Managers of sorts, when we have, if you can think back to a time maybe when you were in control of, maybe at work someone left you in charge, maybe you are the manager. And we're managers of sorts when we think about it. If somebody else steps away, they leave their post or they have to go away, someone else has to step up and step in there. Anybody who's been in a position like that understands that at some point somebody's got to show up and do the work. And we are here to do those things. Christ will not forsake us, though. Others may disappoint us. The world may drag us down at times. But Christ will not forsake us. Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." There's something to be said for being content with such things as you have. It seems like, especially in the world today, we see people going after all sorts of things, having a covetous nature, wanting the next best thing, whether it be the new telephone that comes out or the next best car, whatever it may be. There is something to be said for just being satisfied with what you have. And that is a virtue that would serve each of us well. We need to be alert, but vengeance is the Lord's. We do need to pay attention, but it's not our job to exact vengeance upon those that do us wrong. 2 Timothy 4, verses 14 and 15. "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. So who's going to do the repaying there? It's going to be the Lord. It's not going to be, they're not taking up arms against him. They're not trying to exact revenge for whatever that harm was. But leave that in the hands of the Lord. We need to beware of those that oppose the Lord. We need to keep them in our sight, that we may know how to, and we need to understand how to counteract the things that they may do. We need to be aware of them. We have to understand that they can harm the cause. They can harm the cause of Christ and undo a good bit of what maybe we've worked to instill some of the word in somebody and teach them the word. And then they go and talk to someone who opposes the Lord. And then we have a little bit more work to do. This statement here that we just read, may the Lord repay. That's the right attitude. That's the right attitude to have. And not holding a grudge and not trying to do it yourself. Romans 12, verse 19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Evangelizing to someone is difficult. And many times others are going to cast doubt. But Paul didn't mince words. He called things what they were. And we should do the same thing. We can't allow false doctrine to spread. I appreciated the statement this morning that was mentioned that if there's false things being taught, you take care of it that very moment, at that time, before those ideas leave the room and do more damage. There's always more work to do, and we can become weary, but we need to be alert, and we need to understand that the Lord is the one that has the power to do the repaying. It can seem like no one is listening. It can seem like we're talking to the air sometimes, and in many instances, we are. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in doing these things that we know we should do. Galatians 6, verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. You know, we are the few as we go through life and understand. If you travel, you'll see that the Lord's church is few and far between, faithful congregations of the Lord's church. But they're out there, and we need to not grow weary in doing good, even when it seems like no one is listening. You never know when you're going to plant a seed that will grow. And maybe someone else will plant another seed in that person's mind, seed of the scripture. And then they remember that and say, you know, I remember so-and-so said this. Now that makes sense. And it's God that's going to bring forth that increase. We may not see it, but we need to keep on going. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Another harsh statement according to the world. You who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is not a good thing, and none of us wants to be accused of that. Obedience, though, is always the next step. When we understand these things, that we're not alone, that we're going to be weary, and we understand that obedience is always the next step. Mark 16, 15 and 16 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This is what we need to do in order to be saved. We need to be obedient to the Word. And the Word tells us that we have to hear the Word of God. We have to believe that Christ is who He says He is. We need to repent and turn away from our sins. We need to have a renewed purpose in our lives, turning away from those old ways, confessing Christ before men, being baptized, buried in the waters of baptism, baptized for the remission of sins, and then remaining faithful is always the hardest part. Because taking that first step to become baptized, to obey the gospel, may seem like a difficult thing at the beginning. But when you think about the rest of your life and having to continue on and seek after the Lord's will, that becomes difficult, but that's why we have this group of Christians, that we can come together, that we can lift each other up and exhort one another, that we can study the Word together to know how we ought to order our steps. If there's any among us here now that have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? It is quite clear from the Scriptures that these things need to be done. If you've done that and you've fallen away, you find yourself having trouble remaining faithful because you've let some of the world back into your life. You have not completely turned away from those old ways or turned back to them. Then we can be of assistance. We can pray the Lord that you may be restored to faithful service. If any of this applies to you, please take it to heart, because as was mentioned, we may not have tomorrow. If you need to obey the gospel for the first time, or if you need to be restored to faithful service in Christ, please come forward as we stand and sing.